on the line. I'm here with Jeremy Weiderman, guitarist for Monster Truck. Jeremy, how's it going, my friend?
It's going very good.
Awesome, man. Well, first off, before we get started, I want to say congratulations on the Juno nomination for Best Rock Group. That's awesome, man.
Thanks, man.
Now, in 2013, you guys took home the Breakthrough Group of the Year.
Yeah.
How do you find that since then you guys have evolved, and what kind of role would you say Hamilton has played in making you guys the success you are today?
As far as the evolution of the band, it's really been it's really just been us kind of taking what we started out to do as the band, which is just like be kind of a beer riff rock band in Hamilton, which was entirely the only goal when we started the group, and kind of finding a way to evolve it into something that is still that at its core, but also had additional elements to it. I mean, you can't just play. I mean, it was very basic in the beginning. We were really keeping the songs simple so we could be drunk while we played them, you know, and that you're not going to be able to make a career out of that, so to speak. So we really kind of we wanted to keep that essence because that is really what was, you know, kind of giving us our early success, but also kind of like adding additional elements into the band, like whether it was blues or just more complex songwriting or additional backup vocals or just really trying to kind of, you know, run the gamut of the classic rock and riff rock, stoner rock, and alternative rocks, you know, spectrum, which is, you know, what we've done on the last two records and what we're continuing to do right now as we work on our third full length. As far as how Hamilton played a role in that, I think that Hamilton, and not just Hamilton, but Toronto, surrounding areas like Guelph and London and everything, kind of gave us the courage and the kind of like hint that we were onto something. Because, you know, we were only, you know, 2 or 3 months into the band's inception, and we were just seeing a fan base growing quickly and excitement growing for our local shows, which we didn't really expect to happen as fast or as severe as it happened. And so it kind of was like, hey, you know, we're obviously onto something here. This has never happened in any band that we've ever been in. You know, maybe we need to think about, you know, branching out even further than where we are now. So it was really just that kind of encouragement that we got from the local, rock scene.
Now, when you are home in the Hammer, what are some things you like to do, some places you like to hang out? Is there like a go-to spot that you're like, yeah, I can't wait to go back there?
Yeah, my couch. That is my go-to spot. You know, I think a couple years ago, maybe, you know, I would have said, like, you know, being out at all the bars, you know, whether it's Augusta or, you know, Absinthe or St. Hollywood or all those places, which I still, you know, I'll tend to go there maybe every now and then. But after you've been on the road, like we have, for the length of time that we have, and, you know, traveling the world and everything like that, and, you know, when you get home, you're really, really excited to do nothing. I don't think I've ever been more excited to do nothing in my life as I have been the last two Christmases when I've come home from being on the road all summer and all fall and really wanting to just kind of, you know, take it easy. You know, and we're all getting older. You know, our singer John has a son. Steve's wife is getting or is pregnant as well. Yeah, I think everyone in the band is like just kind of settling into their mid-30s and really just getting a taste of being at home.
Very good, man. What about getting to the music? I want to know what it's like being, I mean, you guys are one of the few like pure rock and roll bands that are really doing it out of Canada. And I want to know what it feels like being in a radio dominated by pop music. Do you guys ever feel pressure like, oh shit, should we go in like a pop direction kind of thing, or you guys don't really care? It's kind of like your vision. And
I'm honestly a little discouraged at the moment. Not that we're going to change, you know, our style or anything like that, because a lot of the success that we've had recently has been in the UK and Europe, where they don't really rely on the radio nearly as much. And it is about the live scene. It is about, you know, building those fan bases, which we have done now after the last like 2 or 3 years of touring over there. As far as locally in Canada, we're just seeing a lot of the rock stations disappearing and switching formats. And I mean, even Y108,
has kind of taken a step back from classic rock and pure rock music, and is kind of leaning more towards that edge style of things. So, you know, we're just letting it happen. You know, like, it's going to happen around us. We're going to stay the course. You know, we know that there's fans there, and the last thing we'd want to do is let them down by, like, following suit with what else we're seeing going on. And so, yeah, right now we're continuing to work the way we always have. I think, you know, we're still doing what we've always done when we approach a new record, which is trying to add additional and new ideas into the mix so that it's not writing the same record over and over again. But that has a lot more to do with our own kind of tastes and what we're trying to achieve musically than it is what's happening in the musical landscape around us, because that was, I think, kind of the number one thing we were trying to do when we started the band, which is do something that no one else was doing. And when we started the band and we saw, you know, we were going to hammer out this, like, riff rock, classic rock vibe, I was certain there'd be 50 other bands. It seemed like such an easy idea and such an obvious idea to do this. And I kept thinking, you know, we better get going. And if we actually are going to change from being just a party band into something that we're going to get on the road, we better get on it, because there's going to be like 10 or 20 other bands doing the same thing, because it's so easy and obvious. And then it didn't happen. And then we kind of became that band. And I guess that's kind of lucky in timing and everything, because, you know, there are other bands coming up now, you know, whether it's Motor League or The Wild, Glorious Sons, are pretty different stylistically, but they're also, you know, kind of really getting a ton of airplay and are a fantastic band. And it's actually good for the scene to see more of them, you know, I was wrong about it being a competition. It's kind of, you know, it'll help kind of hopefully bring the radio stations back around.
Yeah, man. And honestly, you guys have such a unique sound. As much as it's very inspired by classic rock, it still really stands out today. And getting to the music with your most recent single, For the People, I love the message behind it, that kind of uniting anthem. Do you guys ever feel like do you ever feel responsible as an influential artist to kind of make sort of songs to unite the people? Like, is that the intention behind the song?
Definitely. I think, you know, if you look at the messages of all the song lyrics, I don't do the lyric writing, but John's always a big kind of advocate of inclusiveness and you know, just spreading the message of love and unity. At the same time, I also feel guilty, because I wish we could do more to kind of help change people's minds about everything, because it's just gotten, I feel like we've gotten into a situation as a society now where we're kind of, I don't want to say it's past the point of no return, but sometimes it starts to feel that way. And, you know, I kind of wish, as an artist, I almost wish we were bigger in so that we could make more of a difference. You know, sometimes it starts to feel like we're spinning our tires, trying to get people to kind of really pay attention to that message. And, you know, as an artist, you actually have to do more than that, you know? And I hate to say that I feel like we haven't done enough, whether it's, you know, getting involved with charities or, you know, just being more active, you know, in general, just either being out at the protests or, you know, having a stronger voice, which, you know, I think it's something we have to kind of investigate. It's been tough because we've been so busy, you know, worrying about being on tour and writing new music. But I think it's something that I think every artist needs to think about, because it's always been the artists that have kind of taken a stand first and helped kind of mobilize people into really paying attention to what is really going on right now.
Honestly, man, yeah, I really appreciate the direction you guys go with your music. And I think the radio is really dominated by a lot of brain mush kind of music that's not really helping the cause. So it's nice to see somebody and a band who actually cares about it.
Well, you know, part of the problem is really, and this is the thing that I don't think radio understands. And this is a general issue amongst Chorus and what's the other one, Astra or something like that. They think they are doing something wrong. They think that they're not playing the right music, or it's not the right format for the right territory, or the demographic, or on and on with all the bullshit. When really, radio is just kind of on a downward trend on its own. You know, people are on Spotify, people are on Apple Music, people are, you know, kind of resurging back into vinyl. And I feel like they're constantly trying to, like, figure out how to, like, change this tide of, like, inevitability, which is really, like, I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's kind of impossible. You know, people are just not listening to FM radio nearly as much anymore. It's already happened in Europe, and it's already happened in the UK. And I wish they would just stop switching things up and trying to figure out how to, you know, get things back to where they were 5 years ago, when really they should just stick to what they believe in, or whatever the station believes in, whatever the PD believes in, whatever the DJs believe in, so that they can have a truthful and honest voice on the radio instead of, you know, constantly being told to, you know, dumb down the playlist. Or what they've really started doing is taking a lot of the diversity out of the playlist, and now instead of playing, like, you know, instead of having 100, 200, 300 songs in their playlist, they're down to like 50. So you're hearing the same song every, you know, every 3 hours you're hearing the same song. And I mean, when we're in that playlist, it's obviously advantageous to us to have our song played five times a day. But I think it's better for music and, you know, the listenership in general to have a, just more music, more different kinds of music on the radio. And, you know, I miss the way Q107 used to be. And, you know, it's tough to watch happen. And I wish they would stop trying to fix an unfixable problem, which is just radio is not listened to as much as it used to be. And they've got to accept that fact.
I definitely think that the change is inevitable. And hopefully we do see a change in the amount of music that is publicly put forward, and there's more intelligence brought to that. But with the music that is on the radio, is there anything that you're listening to that you're like, oh, this is great? Like, what's on your kind of playlist or in your headphones?
I don't remember the name of the single, but the True's most recent single blew me away. I hate to say I didn't even know who it was when I heard it. They've released a ton of great singles. I didn't know who it was, and then I was like, whose song is this? Such a great song. And then I found out it was the Trues, and I felt so happy because they're, you know, they're local boys, and we're friends with them and everything. So that was a real cool thing to see and hear. Outside of that, we, you know, played with a great band from America called Mothership a couple weeks ago. We always love playing with the Rival Sons. I think they're basically the best modern rock band in the world right now. Play with a great band called Alter Bridge, which is like power metal, like right up your ass. It's like the best power metal I've ever heard. lots of bands. I mean, we're constantly seeing new groups, bands like Crobot, and there's a ton of great rock and roll out there. It's just you gotta kind of hunt it down at this point.
Yeah, man. And lastly, before we wrap everything up, if you had to define success, what would it mean to you? I always like to ask people what kind of emotions they'll need to feel, or what things they would need to be successful, because it's such a subjective thing.
Yeah, I remember really feeling, when we were working on our first full-length Furiosity, I remember really feeling like, I just hope we can get this done and out. Because I felt so strongly about the record and how proud I was of the music on it and how it sounded and everything. And I remember just thinking, God, I just hope we can get this done, and I hope we can get it finished and out and into the world so that it exists forever. Because I felt like if I could just get one record finished and out, and that it would just be something I could leave behind, you know, when I'm old and gray and turned to dust, there'd be something there that I left for whoever to pick up and find at some point. And I guess I feel like it sounds corny, but it was really it was exactly the way my mind was working at that time. Because there'd been so many hurdles and crossroads, and we had to record the album twice, and it was so difficult to get to that final product. And then of course, inevitably, as soon as that album was finished, I started having a new thought, which was, well, if we could only just get two records, if we could only just finish two full lengths, that would really be cool. And I could leave two records behind, showing a more diverse kind of offering from the band. And so now that's done. So obviously, you know what the next step is now in my line of thought, which is I just really want to get this next record finished, because it's feeling really good right now as we're working on it this afternoon. We're not into the recording process yet, but we're in the writing process, and I'm feeling really cool about it. We're going a little bit of a different direction with this record. Kind of feel like we're at the point where we have to start taking some chances, and we're going to see how that pans out.
Awesome, man. I'm super excited for it. I saw you guys at the Festival of Friends in Ancaster, and you guys carry a really strong presence on stage. I mean, my favorite bands are stuff like Oasis, who have massive presence, and you guys definitely are up there with that kind of presence.
No, thanks very much, man. That was a weird show to play, being that we got brought in last minute. But yeah, it was cool to be able to do that, and we're looking forward to being able to find a way to do another Hamilton show soon. So we don't know how we're going to do that yet, but I'm sure we will figure it out.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to hearing all of the new stuff. For the listeners, please check out ilovemonstertruck.com for all of the updates on Monster Truck. You can find this interview, hamiltonmusician.com, for more info on myself, drepalemusic.com. Jeremy, congrats again on the nomination, and good luck with everything.
Thank you very much.
Much love, man.